Like I said in Mother's Day, I'm not preaching a Mother's Day message. I'm not preaching a Father's Day message. I have a tendency to think that we are really nice to the moms and we beat the dads all up, so I'm not going to do that. Just not going to do that. But there is something for you at the end of the church, you fathers, and Ashley will talk about that later. But if I forget, all you fathers, happy Father's Day. And I want to tell you that I love all of you. This message could be rough, but I don't know why God's just continuing me. I was going to be in the book of Ezra, but that's just not going to happen. So we're going to be rolling down. We're going to surf some scriptures today, and I'm going to try to be clear and not mess up my verses and get us on the right book, as my wife says. So I'm going to pray before we go, and I want to tell you, if I say anything that offends you, I don't mean to say it to offend you. I say it because I love you. And I do it because I think God wants you to grow where you are and not to live the way you're living, okay? Fathers, we open up our hearts today and open up our minds and our eyes to the words that's going to be before us in your word and through the voice. I just pray, Father, Lord, you would open our hearts up, that we might receive what you'd have for us today, that we might grow in our walk with you, that we might be the person that you created us to be. We pray, Father, for any darkness that's in this area. We pray, Father, that that will be revealed and light would penetrate in through the darkness. The hearts and lives might be changed. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. If you're a guest here today, we welcome you. I promise you this is a Baptist church, but Baptists don't mean so much to much as much. You know, it is who we affiliate with. But this might be, somebody might want to say that I'm a little more Pentecostal today, but it's okay. All right, we're just going to be in God's Word today. But we're going to learn and we're going to worship today, and that's where we're going to be. So I want to share with you a little bit today, just a few minutes about heaven and a few minutes about hell and then what's going on in between. But if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn, there's some things that you just got to know as we begin, because it is bigger. There are things, this whole thing is bigger than you and I. It is much bigger. It was here before we were here. And when we pass away, it's still going to be here until Jesus comes back. You're just here for a moment. Okay? You have a moment. And that's all you have. And we're not even promised tomorrow. But we think we have forever on this earth. Now, I want you to, you know, many of you know the scriptures, and that's great, but I'm telling you, you need God's word in front of you, because I'm going to say it like I do it all the time. I'm not as smart as I think I am, and you're not as smart as you think you are, but God's word will show us, okay? And we can be smart about all kinds of things in the world, but if we're not, if we don't know God's word, the Bible says we're foolish. We're lost. So for a Christian, we need to know God's word. I want to share with you today, first apart, just a couple minutes on heaven. I want to tell you that there is more than one heaven. How do I know that? Because the Bible tells us to. Genesis 1:1. If you have your Bibles, I'd flip over there, because you're going to, some of you are looking at me like I'm crazy. I want you to flip over to Genesis 1:1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Earth is singular and heaven is plural. Okay? So, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay? And I know a lot of people will say, well, we have the sky as its heavens, and there's these, there's those. But also I want you to turn over to 2 Corinthians. And we're going to be moving kind of quick a little bit, but 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, why am I telling you? I'm telling you this because I want you to know that it's bigger than there's a heaven, there's a hell, and we're in between. There's a lot going on. There's a lot going on, and some of you are wasting your life right now, and you're missing what God has for you. You're missing what God has for you, okay? But in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2, Paul is writing, and he says his piece here. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and verse 2. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or part of the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise. He heard inexpressible things, things that man is not permitted to tell. So here we see scriptures of a third heaven. Okay, so there are some things about the heavens that we don't all know about. But we know through the scriptures that there will be a day. Also in Revelation 12:1, it says, the former things will pass away, and God will create a new heaven and a new earth. What I'm trying to tell you is God has a plan, and his plan is in place. And you need to get on his plan and get off your own plan. Because your plan ain't working. I'm just telling you, your plan is not working. How do I know that? Because some of us are still living in a sinful lifestyle. You can't serve God and please him when you're living over here digging in porn all the time. And like I said, I love you. This is not going to be a popular message, but it needs to be. It just needs to be heard. But I also want to remind you that Jesus is coming one day. The Bible tells us, and we'll all be called up into heaven, those who know him. Heaven is our home. The Bible says we're just passing through. But heaven is our home. But we're living on this world right now. There's also a place called hell. Now, my belief, and this is my belief, I'm going to put it out here. You can believe what you want, but more scripture tells us about it being below. I believe it's in the center of the earth, which is many of the theologians believe that as well. I'm going to give you two scriptures, Psalms 55, verse 15. You can write that down, but I'm going to go quickly. Let death take my enemies by surprise. Let them go down alive to the grave. Every time you hear the reference of death or hell, it is always below. It's going to be low. In Psalm 63:9, they who seek my life will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. Okay? But hell is a real place. Hell is a real place. In fact, in the book of Luke, chapter 16, Jesus talks about a man who went there. If you want, you can go there. I'm going to go there. Luke chapter 16. We're just going to visit this for just a moment. Jesus is telling a story about a man who went to hell, and he is there. I'm not going to get caught up in Abraham's bosom right now. We don't have time for that. But he has something he wants to say to who's on the other side, which is Abraham. So this man is over here. I just wanted you to understand a piece about it. And he says, verse 23, Luke 16. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and he saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water to cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire. Did you hear that? He says he's in hell. He asked Abraham to let someone else come over to dip their finger in the water, bring it over, and just to put it on their tongue, because he is in agony in this fire. Now, I want to just let you know that thank God for Jesus Christ, those of you that are saved, that you know this is not something you're going to experience. Because of Christ, you will not ever experience this. Because the Bible tells us in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That who shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We serve a good God. We serve a good God. But we're struggling. So what in the world is going on between there and here? And what is going on? I believe that Satan is causing mass chaos in the United States. Mass chaos across the world, but mass chaos in the United States. He's causing disorder. He's causing dismay, disorganization and mayhem, violent confusion, division, all of those things to get us just to keep living in sin. Some of us today that are in this congregation, as small as it is, and there's families that are on vacation, but as small as it is today, listen, some of you are living in sin. There's some things that are Satan will come. The Bible says in John 10:10 that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came to give life more abundantly. But the thief, Satan, comes to steal, kill, and destroy what? Your life. To steal, to kill, and destroy your life. And he's doing great at it. And many, he's doing great with it. And I want you to keep this in mind. The Bible says that every man, every woman will stand and give an account for your life. And even every idle word. That's the word you say under your breath. And we say more under our breath about other people than we do any other thing. Some of the things that people are falling into, as I just said just a few minutes ago, porn is being accepted in the United States as it's okay. Nobody's talking about it. Now I want to tell you the church is struggling. I'm talking about the church. Church is struggling. There are some good godly churches, listen, of all types of different denominations. I believe that. But there are a lot of churches that are not. We're addressing on how much and all the things we want to build, how beautiful we want to redo carpets and pews and all that. Yeah, if they're ripped up, we are to take care of God's house. Amen? He told us that all the way back in the beginning. Take care of the house. I got to be careful here. But when do gymnasiums become the most important thing? If all we do is appease people, if all preachers do and worship leaders is to appease people where they walk out and say, it was such a great worship service today, and go out and they go back into their lifestyle and they took nothing with them spiritually, that's a fail. But in church today, that's a win. In a lot of churches today, that is a win. Because we had a lot of people. And people don't want... People, I would be very, very looked down upon on where I'm going in this message. By a lot of churches. Because it isn't... We can't... Listen, I know this. God loves you and you know that. I hope you know that. God loves you right where you are. You hear me say it all the time. God loves you right where you're at. But he loves you enough not to leave you there. But this isn't about, I'm not saying God doesn't love you. I'm saying some things because people would just think that, well, you're not telling us that God loves. I'm telling you, God loves you, but we also need to talk about some junk. We need to talk about some stuff that's going on. That sexual lust, that porn, that sex is now everything that it wasn't created to be. That's what our country is using it for. Your body is not to be thrown in with other people. It is a temple. It is a temple. It is sacred. The sexual intimacy is between a man and a woman. Not a man and a man, not a woman and a woman. But God, man and a woman who become married. And then they come together and they bring that marriage and consummate that marriage in the way that the scriptures tells us. The world is telling us, no, you can do anything you want to do. Listen, I'm telling you, the world is not going to save you. Jesus Christ saves an individual upon the realization that they know that they have sinned and they are separated from God. And everyone needs Jesus Christ, whether they believe they do or they don't. But sin steps in the way. And it is a way, it is in there. And that's just sexual sin. That's not talking about the addictions. The alcohol, the alcoholics, the those who are using drugs, and we call them drug addicts. They're just people that have a sin in their life, and they've not got rid of it. And the secular world has all these programs to try to figure out how to make it work. And really it is, if you want to get it, you'll do it. You got to want it first. And then you got to realize you can't do it on your own. That all people will let you down, but Jesus Christ will stand with you. That's where you get, I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. You can't get clean and sober without Christ. And last, you don't put that stuff under your skin and think life is going to get better. It doesn't. It doesn't. It ruins lives. It tears lives apart. It splits families. It removes children. I told you this is going to get ugly and it's going to get worse. Because we're a mess. America is a mess, and our churches should be first responsible, because we should be setting the example. Amen? But we're not. Living together. I'm telling you, some of you may just walk out on the church, but I got to say it. It's not biblical. I'm sorry, it's just not biblical. I love you. God loves you. But don't ask God to bless you when you're living in a mess. You should ask Him to help you out of the mess than to bless your mess. Because He's not going to bless it. God doesn't jump on your bandwagon. He doesn't jump on your plans. He has a will. He has a will for everyone. He has a will for this church. When you are following His will, blessings come on. When you're not, you can go back in the Old Testament, curses begin to happen. We're expecting to put our hand on the stove when it's hot and act like we're not going to get burnt. And then we got this whole part of just evil things happening, of where people are they're just missing. Look at me. There are people that are missing. I'm not talking, I'm talking about people in the sanctuary. I'm just saying people that are walking on the earth, they were with the family and they're missing the next day. Walmart used to have pictures of all these people that were missing, but in my research, there were so many, many of them stopped putting them up there because it was just so negative. People are being taken. Women and young boys are being put into sex trafficking and all that. And we're just kind of putting it, this society's kind of seeing it, but they've been missing the mark. It's not just for that. There is the occult out there that are doing things to people that you don't even realize. This is a dark world. There is the occult that take people. There's a story in Huntington. I'm not even going to share it with you, but I'm telling you, the occult is here. This is my story. This is another pastor's story. It's just not my story. There are some people that are playing around with the occult and witchcraft, and they don't know what. When you're messing with spiritual things, if it's not of God, it is of the devil. And the things of the devil destroy, steal, kill, and destroy. And people are doing that, and there's missing people. The murder in this world, the rampant killings are just all over the place in the United States, and we're getting to the point where it doesn't even faze us anymore. We're not broken. We're broken when we feel the pinch when it's our family. We feel it when it's my marriage. We feel it when it's one of my kids. You know what this whole thing is? It's a heart condition. Instead of loving the way God wants us to love, we love me, myself, and I. We replaced the Holy Trinity of God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, that Trinity, and we put me, myself, and I. We're so selfish. Even as Christians, we become so selfish. Racism is there. Racism is so big, but that's actually, I think, that has been trumped by hatred. Hatred. Because you don't agree with me. You said something about something that you offended me. Well, so what? God's word is offensive. It's offensive so that it'll let you know what you're doing wrong so that you can fix it with God. So what? So what? And then our marriages. Let's just put it out there in the front. Has anybody got a perfect marriage? Anybody got a perfect marriage? Okay. Not a perfect marriage. Thank you. There's no perfect marriage. And admit, sometimes I'm wrong. Honey, I'm wrong sometimes. Yes. We must have a sense of humor from time to time. But our marriages, we struggle. Because it's the same thing as it is with the Lord many times. We fall in love with the one that we fall in love with, and all of a sudden, through years, it just begins to drift off. And what happens is that happens also with our relationship with Christ. It shouldn't, but sometimes when we step away from the things that drew us together, it now begins to draw us apart because we're not together like we used to. And all of us know that our marriages have taken some pretty big hits. Let's quit looking at the world to tell us how to do marriage and look in the scriptures and tells us how to do marriage. But I understand marriage is tough. And honestly, things happen. And people change. But the Bible says he hates divorce, but there are ways out of it. God does understand. And adultery is another one. I told you it gets ugly. Adultery and unforgiveness and all these, there's so many problems that we're having. Laziness. Entitlement. I'm entitled to all this stuff. And there's a group out there wanting to give you everything. Say it costs you nothing. Listen, there's nothing free. There's nothing free. Your salvation wasn't free. You just didn't pay for it. Someone else did. But there's nothing free. It may be free to you, but it's costing somebody else. And when you get used to getting everything for free, you get ugly and you get hatred because they didn't give you what you want. When you don't get what you want, you get ugly about it because you feel entitled to it. Listen, I know this. Scripture says if man don't eat, man don't work, he don't eat. Now, I understand people got physical sense, but I'm just telling you, that's Bible. Bible's tough. If you want to live by it, it's tough. And I'll tell you what, we need Jesus Christ to help us live through it. Amen? And Jesus knew that, and he knew that we needed even something else. We needed his Holy Spirit to put inside of us as believers to live out the life. God is not, I want you to know, God is not going around saying, you're messing up, you're imperfect, where's my perfect people? He knows there's no perfect people. But are you trying? Are you putting everything you got into it? When you're doing it and you're trying and you're working, trying to work through it, I want to tell you where you can't get it right, Jesus just lifts you up. And we struggle. But I think the church is part of the major problem. With all of this, churches have become things, some of the minor things have become the major things, and the major thing has now become the minor things. I want you to turn over to 2 Thessalonians for a moment. Because what happens sometimes is, we're going to take a moment here just to look at you that are in ministry. You're doing some things. Second Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. I'm sorry. Yeah, 2 Thessalonians. I'm sorry. I told you I was going to mess up. It's 1 Thessalonians. Okay. It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I knew something was off. I want to let you know that you that are working in ministry, you that are trying to get your life right with God. Okay? You're working in ministry, you're trying to get your life right with God, you're helping people get their life right with God. Listen, it's not always going to get easier. Scripture's going to tell us, and sometimes it just gets really downright hard. And sometimes you just can't reach the one you want to reach. You might try to reach somebody and this won't happen. We'll talk about that in a minute. But Paul says this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 17. But brothers, when we were torn away from you for a short time, it means in person, not in thought, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you. For we wanted to come to you. Paul says, we wanted to come to you. Certainly, I, Paul, did again and again, but Satan stopped us. Wonder why? Why would Satan want to stop Paul from going and seeing some people? Because listen, nothing is more powerful than when the Holy Spirit begins to encourage people. When God begins to move. So Satan was wanting to step in, and he stepped in and he stopped them. Now that doesn't mean that Satan can stop God. But here we see this piece that they wanted to do something and Satan stopped them. I want you to get off this bandwagon that you can just go ahead and say Jesus this, Jesus that, Jesus this, Jesus that, and it all goes away. You got to put some work in it. You got to put some back work into it. You got to fight when everybody else stops fighting, and you got to be on the line. There's some great scriptures in the Old Testament when you're out there battling and everybody else. And you look to your right, where's everybody? You look to your left, where's everybody? And you're the only one there. Listen, you keep fighting. You got to keep fighting. But I want to tell you that Satan tries to stop. And that there's times when he will stop you from doing something. But it did not stop Paul's ministry. It just stopped something that was not going to happen. It was not going to happen. Turn over to 2 Corinthians for real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I told you we were going to be in some different places today. There comes a time when you're trying to share the gospel with people. You're trying to help people, but they don't want to listen. They don't want to listen. You prayed about it. You tried to work about it. But I want to tell you that here we find out in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. He says, and even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. The god of this age, that's Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Basically, he's saying the god of this age has blinded the minds of the hope of Jesus Christ. What are we saying? There's a battle going on, and some of you don't even know it. There's a battle going on in your life, and you have no clue what's going on. Some of you know. But there is a battle going on to tear your family apart, to tear some things apart in your life, to keep you from being what God has called you to be. So how do we fight this thing? Because listen, you grab Satan's attention when you try to get your life right. He doesn't care about you. He doesn't love you. But when you begin to look upward for hope and you begin to take a step toward God, Satan is in the mist. He's always in the shadows, watching. His demons are always watching. So number one, how do you fight this? Number one, you cannot fight this if you are not a believer. Now let me extend that a little bit more. The Bible says that the demons believe, but they will not inherit the kingdom of God. So believing is not good. You must have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You must believe and confess that Jesus is who he says he is. So you must be a believer. There is no protection outside of Jesus Christ. Look at me. You cannot protect yourself as much as you're not as strong as you think you are. Let me ask you. whatever sin that you play with, whatever sin that Satan's got you hooked in, how many times have you said, I'm done, and went right back to it? How many times you got on that cell phone and said, I'm done with porn, and got right back on it? Listen, my heart is breaking right now because I know that most people are giving their 12-year-old daughters, 12-year-old boys cell phones, and they can look at anything they want. If you're my age growing up, you had to go look for it. You had to go find it in some attic. You had to go in somebody's garage or see some calendar or some mechanic shop. But the things that can be seen on the internet is disgusting. It is disgusting. It is vile against God. It is disgusting. But not as only is that just disgusting, it's all the other things we mentioned. It's the other things that we mentioned. And Satan is trying to stop people from believing. He's veiling them, covering their eyes so they don't hear. So there's a battle. Listen, you think the battle is drugs. You think the battle is these things. There's a part that is part of the battle. But the biggest battle is, will they listen to the Word of God? Because the Word of God brings freedom. And the truth shall set you free. And he wants to keep you in the bondage and whatever sin he is that you're hooked into. And he doesn't care what it is as long as you are in bondage. And believe me, greed is bondage. Don't you think it's all about the things we do with our bodies? Sometimes it's all about how much more money I can get, how much money I can save. It says, look at all what I got. Listen, the Bible says all things belong to God. Our life is but a breath away. You're done. We're not invincible. I'm telling you, we need to make sure that we're saved. We need to make sure that we need to know that once we are saved, that we need to begin to start living a life that God, that puts a smile on God's face. God is patient. God is living a life that is honoring to God. We need to work on that. That's number two. Living a life that is honoring to God. Is your life honoring to God today? Is your life honoring to God today? Ephesians chapter 6. Now, some of you know me, and I'm not going to get all up into what I normally would get up into. But I'm going to go down to verse 18. In Ephesians chapter 6, he tells us how to fight these battles. But this one piece says in verse 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, and with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for all the saints. We find that there's a part here that we need to pray in the Spirit. Listen, there is a moment when you're praying, and then there's a moment when you're praying in the Spirit. Let me tell you the difference. When you're praying for yourself and what you want and what you need and what you feel like things should be. But when you're praying in the Spirit, you may start that way, but when you're praying in the Spirit, you end up praying about the things that are on God's will. There's an attunement. There's something that's in tune between you and God. It's not just you. It's not you at all, really. It's the Holy Spirit working through you to be in tune with God. There's a difference on how you pray. You know it, too. You know when you stop praying, you don't even know what you prayed about many times because we're just praying out of necessity and out of regular and out of habit and routine. But when we pray in the Spirit, we're serious about what we're praying about. God is moving. God is doing some things. And we begin to pray words we didn't even think we were going to even say. Get a witness? Might know about that? We need to pray more in the Spirit. Listen, we do need to give prayer and thanksgiving and all things when we eat. Listen, you're not going to have some holy moment usually when you're eating, but you ask God's blessing and peace upon that food. And you're just giving God thanks. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity for this food. Thanks for allowing us to have the $20 to go to McDonald's. Thank you, Lord, for that. And it's the blessings, the small blessings that He gives to you. He loves to give small blessings to us. Not just big ones, not just life-changing blessings, but when we're part of the family of God, it's our whole life. Not just when we're in crisis, but when we're excited about life, when things are going great, we still need to do those things. Number four is we need to be in church. Number four, we need to be in church. I want to give you this piece real quick about prayer because I just think it's very important. As we said, there's praying this moment, there's praying in the spirit, but there's something about a man who's living right, a woman who's living right. The scripture tells us this. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. The fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. For you King James lovers. Listen, what that scripture is saying is when you are walking with God and you are a Christ-like man, a Christ-like woman, your prayers are powerful. This is why when you're not walking, when you're struggling in your walk, you need to find someone that you could pray, ask God to give you. You need to find someone that is living right before God. They're not perfect. There's no perfect people. But they're living the example that God's called them to live, even with their shortcomings, and you ask them to pray for you. I did this a lot when I was younger. I'd go to guys and say, listen, will you pray for me? Will you pray with me? Because I felt my prayer, I just wasn't strong enough. But I needed someone. I needed a prayer warrior. I needed a person who was strong. I needed a pillar from the church. You know what a pillar in the church is? It's someone that stands against all the storms of darkness. It's a person who is faithful in the church. It's a person who is strong spiritually in the church. It is one that people go to when there are things that are going on. It is when things are disarrayed in the church and everybody looks at that person, what are they going to say? Because what they say, people are going to follow. It's a pillar in the church. And we need more pillars in this church. But we know that prayer is a big piece. But also we need to be in church because that's where we hear the preaching and we hear those things. But as I said in the beginning, that our churches are falling short. And it's not that maybe I'm making a judgment call, but I'm just seeing because I know a lot what's going on out there and I don't know all of it, but I'm telling you our churches are not what the church is supposed to be. Matthew 10. Go to Matthew 10 real quick. You guys have your Bibles. Hopefully you all do, but Matthew chapter 10. It can be a difficult piece for Baptists. It can be a difficult piece for a lot of denominations. Some denominations love it. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus, once again, I love the words in red because Jesus is talking. Doesn't shortcome any other scriptures and words in black, but this is just Jesus speaking. He says, he's talking to his disciples. He gives them instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter into the towns of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. The lost sheep of Israel. Okay? Who are we to go after? The lost people of Huntington. He says, as you go and you preach. Now, he said, preach this message. Preach the message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Isn't that what we talk about many times? Jesus is coming back. We need heaven. We need Jesus. Verse 8, heal the sick. We kind of step back on that one a little bit. Okay? That doesn't mean they don't believe in doctors. Okay? Because if you know that Luke was a doctor, a physician, all right? You use your doctors, but heal the sick. Raise the dead. That's scary for a Southern Baptist. That's scary, but I'm telling you, I've seen it. I've seen it. Cleanse those who have leprosy. That's a disease we pretty much don't have now. And drive out demons. And drive out demons. Churches won't talk about that. Let me tell you about our brothers and sisters, our Catholic friends. There are more priests now going into... They have more priests now than the last few years have gone into spiritual warfare. We'll just call it spiritual warfare than any other time. And they are very critical. And they have a full staff. I went through the thing. They have a full four or five things that they say, okay, this. We got to check all these off before we even think that it might be demonic. But even they are seeing an uprising in the demonic. Our churches are not prepared for it. And listen, demonic can come in, and as we see, they can come in, someone can come in and shoot in a church, and we would say that's demonic, and that is demonic. That is demonic. But there's a lot more than just that. If you have your Bibles, turn over to Isaiah. I told you we were going to be all over the place. Isaiah 61. If you know your Bible in Luke chapter 4, you'll see that this scripture was fulfilled, all about what Jesus pulls out, Isaiah pulls out the scroll, reads it, and said, today this scripture has been fulfilled. We're not going to read all that where it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he lists all these things. It's the scripture that comes after, a couple verses after. After he says that, the list, he says, and he says this, and provide for those who grieve in Zion to bestow upon them the crown of beauty instead of ashes. Listen, give them the crown of beauty instead of ashes. Then he says, the oil of gladness instead of mourning. When you get your life right with God, listen, then it's going to be the oil of gladness instead of mourning. Here's a big one. See how far you can go with me on this. And a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair or the spirit of depression. You know, depression could be, it could be a spirit of depression. Ooh, I know some of my peers would be shaking right now by me just saying that. I didn't say it. This is the problem. The scriptures are saying it. The problem, scripture says it, instead of a spirit of despair. People have a spirit of despair, of depression. Just this one piece. And he says when he comes, he'll be able to do those things and give him a garment of praise. You can't praise God rightly when you are in depression. You can't do it. You can think you can, but you can't do it. Scripture talks about different types of spirits, jealousy, envy, hatred, unforgiveness, and all kinds of things. But here's the thing. We all say we don't have any of that. Anybody here? Don't raise your hand. You critical of everyone and everything? I'm just asking. Critical of your family, critical of your husband, critical of the church, critical of your spouse. Listen, Satan is moving in all kinds of directions. And you can't outwit him and you can't outmove him without Jesus Christ. And if you even think about getting into ministry, he will try to dampen that right now. He will try to squash that right now. Because you would be a threat to his kingdom. The Bible says he is the prince of the air. He is this kingdom that he has. And you dare try to go against him, he's going to try to squash you out. And messages like this cannot be preached a lot of times in front of churches because people will be afraid to lose people. But where does it say that in the Bible that we are to grow the church? We are to plant, we are to water it, we are to dig around it. But God gives the growth, amen? I feel like the Lord doesn't want me to go in the direction I felt like in this area because this is a lot to take. But I will tell you this, some of you are not where you think you are with God. You may lie out your teeth. We all do from time to time. How's it going? It's going great. In the back of your mind, I'm falling apart. My family's falling apart. We don't want everybody to know. Okay, I get that. Nobody don't need to know all your junk. But I'll tell you this. As long as you're carrying it alone, you are alone. And you can't hide from 20-year-old problems. Because you'll never be what God wants you to be. If you got problems that happened 10, 15, 20 years ago, you need to learn to deal with it. And you need to work it out. And you need to stand at the crossroads and get down on your knees and ask God to work it out. Because you've been trying for 10 or 20 years and you can't forget it. You can't get through it. But I'm telling you, you can do it if you do it through Christ. And one prayer may not get it. But it's the step of going forward. Because there's sometimes God wants to do more than just hear your prayer. He wants to start doing some things in your life. But you've got to start somewhere. Now, if you struggle with porn, is that something God likes? If you're on the internet and you're talking to people you shouldn't be talking to, and you know, nobody has to tell you, you know, where you, how come you know? You know right here. And your inner soul tells you that you're flirting with disaster. But it feels good. A whiskey bottle in your car. Think it's cool, think it's great. You're reaching over. Listen, God is patient. But God also has things that he's set people in place. And he disciplines those who he loves. And sometimes we pray that someone don't go to jail, but that's exactly where God wants them to go. Because they're not listening. Your marriage needs worked on. Believe me, God is the creator of marriage. I don't have all the answers, but I'm telling you, God is amazing. And if you're single, listen to me. If you're single, this church draws a lot of single people. If you're single and you're struggling with the whole thing about the sexuality or being alone, I'm telling you, look at me. If you do it God's way, he will put someone in your life if it's his will. If it's not, he will subside those passions in you to bring you, if he's called you to be into celibacy. God has a way, but we got to do it his way. There are no secrets with God. Not one. And if you think that God didn't see what someone did to you back 10 years ago, 5 months ago, what someone did to you and your family, what someone did to you personally, maybe back in that bedroom 20, 30 years ago, let me tell you, God knows. And that person will stand before God. But you got to learn to forgive. I don't know how to do that because I never went through that, but I'm telling you, we got to learn to figure out how to get through that. Because if we don't, I will tell you, this will be your snag for the rest of your life. You'll hate men. You could possibly hate men. You could possibly hate women. You could say, I'm going to live together with someone because I'll never get married again. Let me tell you, those are not God's word. That is not God's word. The Bible says something that's very tough. He says, if you ask for forgiveness and you cannot forgive others, not forgiven. That is hard. But God is patient. Not wanting anyone to perish. So where do we stand today as an individual? We need to look in the mirror in front of us. Not your face, but at your heart and your soul. You don't need to tell me nothing. Because when you do, you won't not tell me the truth. But somehow when we talk to God, we have to be honest. What is God telling you today? Let's go ahead and stand and...